at least 30 feet around structures. Keep you and your home safe during fire season.
We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I am your host, Maeve. No Captain Maeve today. No, let's let our hair down a little bit. No DJ Captain Maeve, none of that business. I'm just Maeve, all right? And we're going to, I have a very exciting show. I had the pleasure last week of talking to Dr. Judy Jagalo, and Judy is putting together a pretty cool thing for people right now, and it is a support group. Well, it's more than a support group. It's an LGBTQ plus support and coping skills group, and you know, right now, we could all use some coping skills, I think, with what's going on, and I mean... not just us LGBTQ plus types, but veterans and scientists and people with brown skin, you know, grandparents, children. There's just the one percenters probably don't need a support group right now, but the rest of us do. And this one in particular is for LGBTQ plus people. I'm going to play that interview that I did with Judy. And then maybe a little bit of music in there, too. We'll see how it goes. So without further... oh, you know what? First, I got to do. I got to read from On Tyranny, right? I got to do that every single week. We're about halfway through the book now. And okay, let's cue the Dr. Strangelove music. Here we go. On Tyranny. 20 Lessons from the 20th Century by Timothy Snyder. Number 9. Be kind to our language. Avoid pronouncing the phrases everyone else does. Think up your own way of speaking, even if only to convey the thing that you think everyone is saying. Make an effort to separate yourself from the internet. Read books. Timothy Snyder speaks about the beware of the 24/7 news cycle that can drag you in, like many of us looking at the stock market, myself, every 10 minutes. With dread. Avoid the TV trance. Avoid the internet. Avoid fascist cliches. Speak in your own voice of your own experiences. Read. Avoid the screen trance. Read books like 1984 and Fahrenheit 451. They both had dystopian futures where reading was replaced by interactive systems. Read fiction and good novels. All right. A real host would have timed that out so the music ended at the same time the host was speaking. But that's me. Let's get started. Let's go ahead and play my interview with Dr. Judy. And, you know, I'm going to have Dr. Judy's going to tell you how to get in touch with her. But you can also her them. Dr. Judy is non-binary. But you can, there will also be an availability to go onto the website, KYRS's website, and look, and I'll have the info on there too. All right, Dr. Judy, part one.
Good. Fantastic. fantastic.
And, okay, I'm sitting here in the office of Dr. Judy Jagalo, and Judy is a psychologist, and you deal with... Judy, what are kind of your primary fields of expertise?
Yes, thank you for asking. So I have my primary training in health psychology, which more specifically, that's also a very broad field. I know people who aren't in psychology might not know, but health psychology is pretty broad. So I work with people with chronic illness, working through that and working towards acceptance and working towards values. I also work with people with chronic pain. And then I also very much enjoy serving the queer community and other veterans as well.
Yeah.
I've worked at the VA, but so people who have experienced traumas, people who, like I said, have health conditions that they're trying to manage. And yeah, I think that's the big ones.
Okay, and I guess that's, just to back up a little bit, that's how I found out about you, because we're in the Queer Veterans of the Northwest, Inland Northwest or Pacific Northwest or something. Yeah,
I think it's Inland. Yeah, exactly.
It used to be so much easier when we used to be the Inland Empire here.
Oh.
Yeah, it was great. We were an empire once, but I think Riverside, California, I think they called themselves the Inland Empire. So we folded, you know, didn't even fight for it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we're not even an empire anymore. Well, that's, you know, I saw that you are doing an LGBTQ plus support and coping skills group.
Yes.
What made you decide that that would be something you'd want to do?
Yes, thank you also for asking that, because I have noticed, as I think most of us in the queer community, if not all, that right now it's especially bad for queer rights, trans rights. I mean, I think everything is kind of on the table for what rights that we do have.
Yeah.
That are, you know, I mean, gay marriage was legalized not even that long ago. So.
Right.
And the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned really kind of calls into question that the rest of this can be overturned. So, right now, a lot of us are kind of scrambling to figure out what to do. And I am all about community, and I love bringing people together, and I also wanted to make it more valuable than just a community, because we could go to a bar and find community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Go down to 9, you'll find a community. So I wanted to provide service to this community, to my community, that was helpful in this really, really stressful time.
Yeah, and... like you said, with the dismantling of Roe v. Wade, anything is possible now. I mean, they could take away marriage equality. They could do, I mean, we've just seen that the courts don't seem to hold much sway with this administration.
Exactly.
And I just think they're just, I don't want to seem paranoid, but I just think they want to destroy everything.
It really feels that way.
Yeah. And I think trans people in this election were such a target, which was a weird thing, because we're only like 0.3% of the population.
Yes.
But the hundreds of millions of dollars that were poured into anti-trans advertisements, which, you know, study after study or survey after survey shows that people are actually okay with trans people. So I don't know what that was even about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It feels very much like it is the token issue of politics today.
Do you, when you have LGBTQ patients, do you find there to be sort of a divide in age-wise as far as like the different needs of these populations?
Oh, that's a really good question. I know I keep saying that. You're just full of them.
Thank you. Well, I wrote them down. I've not looked at the list yet, but I do have questions.
You know, I don't really see much of a divide.
Uh-huh.
Somewhat. I should say somewhat, but it's more anecdotal that some older folks in the community struggle more, and I think that's just maybe generational things. Mm-hmm. So, that intersection of what generation you're from.
Yeah.
And what you've lived through in terms of what rights you've had, I think. And I think a lot of older queer folks are, maybe I shouldn't say less worried, but they feel, and maybe I'm speaking too much for them, it almost seems as if they are more prepared for the fight.
Yeah.
Because they've experienced it before.
Yeah. And I think also when you're older, you kind of are willing to take more of a stand or risk because it's like, well, I'm done in a lot of ways. I mean, I've done what I needed to do in life, and not that I want to die, but it's like I think that there are, it would be great to go out on a good cause. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think, at least from my perspective, that's how I look at it. Do you see differences in the populations of say, between trans folk and gay people as far as their things that they come to you with, anxiety and depression and things like that?
Oh, I think I see... oh, gosh, that's difficult. I want to say that I see more anxiety about discrimination in trans folks than I do in LGB folks.
Yeah, I guess as a LGB person, you can hide out. I mean, no one's going to know until you say, oh, yeah, it's in my husband or my wife. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you can do that somewhat sometimes. As a trans person.
So, yeah, you can. Right. You can stay hidden. And I think that's when people say to me, oh, I've never met a trans person before. I go, yeah, you probably have.
You absolutely have.
You know, they're just not comfortable with being out, you know.
Yeah. Being out, or they pass.
Or they pass, right. Yeah. Or they pass. Yeah.
Or their gender expression is different from what you what they perceive as normative and stereotypical for male or female.
Yeah.
Or non-binary.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Which reminds me.
Yes.
I'm trying to be better about pronouns. That's one of the things that I kind of just left by the wayside, but I realize it really makes Nazis angry by saying this. So I'm going to ask you, Judy, what are your pronouns?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I use they and she.
They and she. And mine are she, her.
Beautiful.
And if I feel like possessive, hers. So, yeah. So, So, I'm going to start. I need to start doing that more, I've decided. So, I wrote that down to do that here. When you talk with your patients, do you have a different, do you do more of a, like a cognitive behavioral therapy? Is it sort of your wheelhouse? What kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I do a lot of cognitive behavior therapy, or CBT, as we call it. But I don't, I like to say, I don't jive with it completely.
Uh huh.
Because the concept behind it is that we have the ability to change our thoughts. Which is true.
Yeah.
However, then I see this power struggle in people with their own thoughts.
Yeah.
So actually, a theory that I prescribe more to is acceptance and commitment therapy.
Okay.
Which focuses more on outlining the values of the person and how their symptoms are interfering with them behaving in line with their values.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you're anxious and you really value going to see your family, but you are very afraid of flying and they're across the country, then that symptom, and if you value your family, that symptom is, it's interfering. So what can we do? What can we do to help you?
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I think that's sort of, that was one I wasn't familiar with until somebody close to me started doing the work along that, and she really thought it was very beneficial for her.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. this kind of get back to the support group. What are the mechanics of it? We're going to let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
For the support group.
Yes.
But just to, you know, so do you have it here in your office, do you think?
Yes. So I'm considering doing a hybrid group where we do part Zoom, part in person, just to make it more accessible to folks. But it will be 8 weeks long when we do start, and it will be an hour long, and it will be here in the Mary Cliff office of Center for Family Development on Wednesdays, 5:30 to 6:30.
So when you say 8 weeks, to me that sounds like you're going to be, this isn't going to be like an ongoing like support group. This is going to be something that you're going to help people learn skills in dealing with these
issues. I would love for it to be both.
Okay.
I would love for it to be both. I don't want it to be an open-ended group where we continuously meet, because sometimes that can, sometimes it can defeat the purpose of paying someone to facilitate that.
Yeah.
So I absolutely am going to advocate for these folks that come to the group to continue meeting and to not pay me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have sort of like a syllabus for this then? Okay.
I do. And the essence of it will be, how do you manage stress? What are you doing? How can we limit social media? And it's going to be more conversational than, I guess, psychoeducational. There will be psychoeducation on some things. But a lot of conversation around topics and helping people connect with others and see how others are dealing with these things.
Yeah.
I think will be really helpful.
You know, you mentioned social media. Mm-hmm. And I think so that must be a common theme that you kind of hear, is people are feeling stress.
So much so.
Yeah.
Not just in the queer community.
Yeah.
Across the board, I think social media is a stressor.
Yeah.
The access that it gives us, the news, we have access to the news 24/7.
Yes.
And then people's opinions about the news, and then people's opinions about the people's opinions.
Yeah.
About the news. And it's damaging. It really actually is correlated with higher rates of anxiety and depression.
I would think so. I mean, but it's kind of like a weird, kind of a rush you get from doing the doom scrolling, right? I mean,
definitely.
You know, you sit there and like, oh, like today, I have to admit, I was like, we're recording this on Friday, and I was like, oh, wonder how much lower the stock market got today. And I was checking in about every 10 minutes, you know, in almost in a, I wouldn't say gleeful way, but in a morbid fascination with it, you know. And so, you know, not to give, I don't want to give things away, but do you have anything for our audience right now that you would say that they could do to kind of lessen the stress on themselves?
I think so. Set clear boundaries. Set clear boundaries with yourself to only use your social media apps for a certain amount of time a day, or check them a certain amount of time a day.
Okay.
Or to have a reminder to check in with yourself after the third video, the third post you see, and see how it is impacting you.
Yeah.
And respond to that signal. If it is not a pleasant feeling, if it's not serving you, and it might be a complicated mix of emotions, it might be rewarding to learn the information, and it might feel empowering to know that information. But that information will be there later when you can consume it in a mindset that it is not bringing you down.
Have you had to struggle with that yourself?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I have lost sleep over doom scrolling countless times.
Yeah.
100%. Yep. I am not immune.
Yeah. But, you know, my thing is...
reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's striving and driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. Cause he's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. He's going the distance.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai, Sunrise, Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Addition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org.
Hey, it's Luke Baumgarten, editor at Range Media.
And Aaron Sellers, City Hall and politics reporter.
Inviting you to listen to Free Range right here on KYRS Thursdays at 3 p.m. Not only are we going to help you keep up with all the news swirling around us in the Spokane area, but because it's us, we're also going to help listeners understand how to engage with the political systems that shape our daily lives.
Whether it's learning how to testify at city council meetings, figuring out who to contact about that never-ending pothole, or understanding the policies that affect your neighborhood, we're here to break it all down.
So we're going to dive into the stories behind Spokane's biggest headlines and talk to the journalists who uncovered them, and we'll have some fun along the way.
At Free Range, our mission is simple. Empower you to get involved and make sure your voice is heard when it comes to the decisions local governments are making that impact your life.
So join us on KYRS every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Free Range, brought to you by the worker-owned newsroom, Range Media.
Because, Spokane, your voice matters, and we're here to help you use it.
K
get ready to get loud in the library. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, Spokane Central Library, and Brick West Brewing bring you a night of powerhouse music. Saturday, April 26th, 7 p.m. at the KYRS Studios, third floor, Spokane Central Library. Featuring Whack-A-Mole, a six-piece band fronted by American Idol finalist Amanda Dunn, delivering rock, Motown, funk, disco, whatever keeps the party going. Also featuring Eternal Jones, a dynamic rock and blues band packed with top-tier musicians, ripping guitar, funky rhythms, and killer saxophone solos. Admission is free. Enjoy beer, wine, and snacks while you soak in the sounds. Don't miss this electrifying night, Saturday, April 26th, 7 p.m. Get loud with us at Spokane Central Library.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text GIVE KYRS to 44321 and help keep KYRS on the air.
And we are back. You are listening to Out and About on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. And I'm doing an interview right now with Dr. Judy Jagula, one that I pre-recorded. And Dr. Judy is putting together a support group and coping skills group for LGBTQ+ individuals. And there's information that she'll be telling you about. And then also, I will have that information on the website, too. So you can check that out. Let's get back to Dr. Judy, part two.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. I am not immune.
Yeah. But, you know, my thing is I do a lot of art and projects that I kind of feel like in my daytime hours, I'm really good at, like, fighting this stuff, right? I mean, I go to bed at night and I feel gleeful about what I've done.
That's
beautiful. But I've had nightmares, which I haven't had in years. My wife has said, woke me up because I'm screaming in bed. And I think, you know, this is weird because I really think that everything is okay. I'm doing okay until I'm laying in bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until that... you know, the subconscious takes over, I guess. But, yeah, so I think it's, you know, even if you don't think you're affected, you probably are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you started, how long have you been working with queer people?
Yeah, actually, my whole career, I would say, which isn't super long. I was licensed first just last year, but I've been practicing since... let's see. Well, first training was 2016, so I guess it's 9 years that I've been practicing. And I've worked with queer people from the start.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, I know with this latest political stuff going on, but have you seen like trending psychological things that have been trending and developing as years have gone on? I'm seeing folks.
I think that is very context dependent. Mm-hmm. I've worked around the country in different areas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in healthcare systems, mostly. This is the first time I've been outside of a hospital, actually. So, in the hospital settings, I've noticed that it is almost empowering to come in and see a psychologist. To talk to someone in this setting where it's normalized to get help. And not that I don't see that in the private practice sector of the world, but it is almost like it's more normalized to get that help. And especially with gender-affirming either hormone letters, which was in the VA, they require... a letter for hormone therapy, which maybe they don't anymore.
Probably not anymore.
Hopefully. Yeah, true. But for surgeries. They also require letters for surgery still. Many surgeons do for gender-affirming surgery. So that is a barrier that has always been looked at, and that's a consistent trend. It's always been looked at as a barrier
And I look at it as a barrier too, and I try to make it as painless as possible for folks.
I tell you, when I used to see a psychologist for my surgeries, and I was really happy to, because it was like, well, you know, I think this is what's going on with me, and I've had my counselor. Mm-hmm. We talked about this, but it's like, I wouldn't mind another set of ears.
Sure.
You know, this is a big step to take. And so why, you know, anyway, that's me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So.
And I don't think, I love that there is support for folks who want it or think that they need it.
Yeah.
I also disagree that there should be a recommendation from a psychologist.
Okay.
Because it implies that it's pathology.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of the stigma.
Right.
Of that.
Exactly.
Well, why don't we tell people, before I forget, how can they get in touch with you, either for, I guess, for counseling or for the support group?
Yeah, thank you. So you can reach me through email, which is the one I will remember. I'm not going to remember my phone. I can go look if you want. But my email is Judy, J-U-D-Y, at cffdspokane.com.
Okay.
So that's Charlie Fox Delta Center for
Family. There we go. Yeah, I love doing that too. What would you tell loved ones and friends of let's say trans people who are especially feeling stressed out right now?
Mm.
What can they do to help them?
Check in and see where your loved one is at. And if they are okay, don't try to make it not okay.
Okay.
Because they are coping. They have had to deal with this whole time. It's just more, it's more salient to the world right now because of what's happening. But the discrimination has always been there. So check in, and if they're not okay, then support them. Listen. Care. Of course, care.
Yeah. I mean, that's just being a good friend or a
good
family member.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that you were in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. What do you think overall, as being, I would say, non-binary, would I say? What do you think of this little corner of the world, Spokane? How have you been treated? What have you noticed?
Yeah, so I'll be completely honest. I moved here from Florida, which was where I was doing my postdoc, and that's where I came out. So I've only lived in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And here.
Okay.
And I would say in Florida, I lived in Gainesville, Florida, which is where University of Florida Gators are. And it's pretty liberal, actually. I was very surprised. And that was lovely. To be honest, pretty good queer community there. Got involved with the VA there. Had a fantastic mentor. And here, it feels a little less welcoming, which is so strange to me to go from Florida to Washington. But considering the pockets of, you know, just political beliefs, the areas that I've lived, it's kind of the outliers.
Well, you know, I'm sure you know Dr. Stiller, probably. Have you done anything with him?
I have not yet, but I just recently heard his name.
Yeah. And he's just over there at Deaconess. But when I did all my surgeries and stuff with him, that was in Moscow, Idaho.
Oh.
Which, you know, that is a little blue dot and a lot of red.
Yes, it is.
Barely blue. And, you know, I don't know any other. I really don't know many. I've only lived here since I've come out, but you know, traveling around, I feel pretty good here. And a lot of that is people know me too, right? So that's a big part of it. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable around that. Is when you have someone, are the coping skills different between someone who is experiencing depression versus anxiety? Do you find?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the biggest difference to me is with anxiety, it's really helpful to sit with it, to go through it and experience it, and honestly, just face your fear. That's kind of the best way, if it's something that you feel like you need to do. So in the example I gave with the flight.
Yeah.
With depression, it is not helpful to sit with it. It's much more helpful to get up and do something else.
Okay.
And honestly, just get up and do something.
Okay.
Anything. Can be literally anything that's not harming yourself.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, yeah. I heard somebody say depression was like more having to deal with the past and anxiety with the future. Does that sound about right? Or is that just kind of a dumb saying?
No, I think it's in general true.
Yeah.
I do. I do think you can have a little anxiety about the past and depression about the future, but
yeah.
In general, yes, I think that's pretty true.
Yeah, yeah. I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, and PTSD, from the work, PTSD and all that stuff. But, you know, you work your way through it. It's a terrible place to be. I sure get. I never had realized that there was that place that you could be. It was so awful, you would do anything to get out of that place. but you can get out of it.
You can.
You know, that's the wonderful thing.
Well, that makes me curious, if you don't mind me asking.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Did you work with a therapist then?
Yeah, so I had anxiety from work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then my PTSD was from work stuff. And then I was kind of doing that with a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing prolonged exposure stuff. Which
sounds like
was,
you were at the VA.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you
it
were?
Wasn't,
oh.
No. But I felt like she was working on, she had already been cleared on the cognitive therapy, but she wasn't cleared on the prolonged exposure.
I
said, oh, I can do that, sure. And it was awful. It was just an awful thing to keep going back to this scene, which we figured out this is where this happened, you know. I keep going back to it and crying and all that stuff. So I find when I was at work one day, there was like an episode that kind of stemmed from this location we had to go back to. I was just kind of done. That was it. And I was getting ready. I probably would have retired within that 6 months anyways. But I thought, you know what, I got to do something about that. Well, the city had me go to an industrial psychologist, and we did cognitive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. And I could say that when I'm around the area that this happened, you know, I mean, of course, it's a bunch of other stuff that led up to it. But when I'm around that area specifically, I don't like being there, but I can be there. You know, I can talk my way through it, and so.
Tears his eyes from the screen as his past takes him back to Atlantic City. There's not even a demon in heaven or hell. Is it all just human disguise as I walk down the aisle? And I'm going to now I'm over the movies. But I know this is when the city was born. Don't sit exactly. I'm going through the crack in the past.
sex and their bones and the boys that we were. An alienation in therapy, sliding naked in you. Like a bad-tempered child on a rain-slick street.
And that was our, you know, friend of the show, David Bowie, Dead Man Walking. That's a live version of that, which I had stumbled across, which is pretty cool. And, you know, I forgot to mention that the song that I played before was Cake, The Distance, which I think we all deserve a little cake right now. And speaking of which, what else do we deserve? Well, let's, I think we deserve a little Dr. Judy track 3. For those of you just joining me, Dr. Judy Jagelow is a psychologist who does work with a lot of different populations, and she specializes in LGBTQ plus folks. She also is putting together a support group and a coping skills kind of seminar, I guess you call it, or classes actually, and it sounds pretty cool. So she's going to give you more information on that in this last part of the hour when we talk about that. And then also on the website, I will have information on how you can get a hold of Dr. Judy. And I think that's it. Let's get going. Let's start back with Dr. Judy. This is our last track.
I can be there. You know, I can talk my way through it. And so, yeah, I think it was, yeah, I was very impressed. And that was during COVID, too, so it was you know, Zoom stuff.
Yeah, and that's monumental.
Yeah.
I just have to say, nice work.
Oh, thanks, thanks. Yeah, it was, you know, it was that COVID stuff. And I think do you see a lot of changes, like, from your clientele? Like, COVID must have really been, I don't know if we've ever really recovered from this yet.
Yeah, in some ways I do not think we have. I don't. In other ways, in the depression ways, I should say, because we are mostly back to functioning. We're functioning in basically pre-COVID fashion, for better or worse. And so people's, I think, depression symptoms. I don't know the research. I should look into it before saying this. But to me, it seems
it's a hypothesis.
Anecdotally.
Yes.
I've seen people, the depression rates kind of return, whereas anxiety seems like it is heightened.
Huh, okay.
Still.
Is it realistic to feel hope right now?
I hope so. I really hope so.
That's kind of a dark question in a way, but I don't know if I feel hopeful. I don't know if I feel. I feel happy enough, but I don't know if I feel hopeful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a realistic thing, at least from my perspective, you know?
That's really understandable.
Yeah. So I don't know. And, you know, I think we're always taught to be like, oh,
yeah.
By golly, we can
power through.
No, I see a route through this thing.
Yes.
And it's like, man, I really don't see this, you know?
The hope that I have.
Yeah.
Is that we come together as humans. Mm-hmm. In whatever way that means for each individual, each family, each group, that we come together and we take care of each other in ways that are meaningful and that prolong our lives in a meaningful way.
That's good. That was my question. What gives you hope right now?
Yeah.
So that's it. Okay.
That is it.
Anything that you find, I was going to ask you, what are there daily habits that people can do to alleviate stress? What are some things that people can do every day?
Absolutely. Take 3 minutes and do deep breathing.
Okay.
Turn off all the sounds, unless it's a relaxing music or something. Try to go to a quiet place. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's in the closet. Who knows? Not that you have to stay in the closet. But do some deep breaths.
Okay.
Do that once a day, and it should help at least momentarily.
Yeah.
For the few minutes after, it's like setting down a heavy weight that you have to pick back up, but at least you got that rest. So yeah. The more often you do it, the better it will help, but...
Okay, that sounds like, it sounds like some of us would just fall asleep, and that may not be a bad thing.
It may not be.
What keeps you going through this time? How do you take care of yourself?
Yeah, well, my family, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married, and my husband is fantastic, and he helps me stay on track. and honestly, seeing people just revolt.
Yeah.
Seeing the revolution, if it's a revolution, I don't know.
Yeah.
Seeing people fight back.
Yeah.
And knowing and being validated that what's happening is actually wild.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Do you ever worry about that? This could be the new normal. I worry about kids, you know, that are only like maybe 10, 12 years old.
Yes.
And they don't know how things, you know, I don't want to sound like an old timer, but like what normal is.
Yeah. Normal is subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
So, yes, we may have a new normal.
Yeah, we may have a new normal. I think I have all my questions that we just kind of came up in our conversation. We just kind of had a conversation that hit everything.
Beautiful.
Do you let's tell people how they can, what's that?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's tell people how they can find out more about the support group.
Yeah.
LGBTQ+ coping and support group. It's Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me get the phone number.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll add it. This part, you can take as long as you want.
Beautiful. And I can give you my card.
Okay. Actually, we didn't edit this part, but She's coming back, so here we go.
Email me, like I said, Judy at CFO.
Because I believe in being totally honest with everybody.
You're also welcome to text or call me at 509-904-0482.
Okay, and you know what? I'll put those on my show notes, and I'll put that when I post the show. Awesome. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I just learned of you. I just joined this group.
Okay, so that you know, yes, there were some questions. I noticed, I don't know why, but when I do recorded interviews like that, I say a lot. Maybe that was what she was going to ask me about. Maybe. You'll never know. We're going to just kind of continue. I'm going to play a little bit more music here because we've got a little bit more time. And you know what? I guess I could say if none of this works, Warren Zevon has a little story he'd like to tell you.
Too. I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Sent lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. And bystander, but somehow I got stuck between the rock and the hard place. I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Concludes this episode of Out and About, and thank you for all for tuning in today. And we're going to have a live guest or two. Maybe I think we're going to actually have three live guests next week, and we're getting ready to start ginning up the old fun drive, right? So stay tuned for that. And pretty exciting, our partnerships. You know, every year we do partnerships, and this year is no exception. And I'm really going to be excited to be talking to these folks about what we're all going to do together. There's never been a better time for us all to be a community, helping out Spokane, helping out the nation, being a good example of what human beings do for and with each other. So thanks for tuning in. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
Música de sangre azul.
Buena está.
Fuera entertainment. Traje. ¡Cocho!
America's family farmers were astonished recently to get a jolly tweet from the President of the United States. "Have fun," exclaimed the Donald. Fun? The farm economy is in the ditch, with crop prices at depression levels and bankruptcy surging. Plus, Trump Inc. is now rigging the law to give agribusiness monopolies more power to run roughshod over farmers and rural communities. Well, yes, say the billionaire geniuses and partisan hacks who've seized control of farm and food policies, but our phantasmagoric laissez-faire land ideology will open up new agricultural markets here at home. So see? Fun. Those ideologues, however, can't make chicken salad out of chicken manure, and that's what their promises are. While Brooke Rollins, Trump's corporatized ag secretary, babbles about new markets, she actually shut down a nationwide market that provided $1 billion a year to family farmers who produce for local schools, food pantries, etc. In reality, Rollins' goal is an industrialized, globalized food economy. So she coldly dismissed these local sales as, quote, non-essential. Of course, that says to all the people involved that her government considers them non-essential. Combining arrogance with ignorance, Trump's aloof plutocrats carelessly wiped out this market right at spring planting time. Each farm family has already taken out thousands of dollars in bank loans to buy seeds and other essential supplies to make this year's crop. But whammo! Trump and company slammed the door on the family's most reliable market, shoving them to the brink of broke and beyond. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is what happens when clueless billionaires are brought in to make our public programs efficient. Corporate rule is never efficient, and it sure ain't fun. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
أهلاً وسهلاً. أنا مايكل مونبير وأنتو تسمعوا إلى KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1
192.3 FM. KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford 88.1 FM 92.3 FM Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Tariffs will make this country very rich. We're rich anyway, but we're rich in a certain way. We have $36 trillion in debt. I want to get rid of it. And we can do it quickly with proper deals.
China is vowing to fight to the end as President Trump threatens to increase tariffs on China to more than 100%. We'll look at how auto workers in the U.S. and Mexico are responding to Trump's trade war. Then the Supreme Court pauses a court-imposed order for the U.S. to bring home a Maryland father who was mistakenly flown to a supermax prison in El Salvador. We'll speak to the family's lawyer and go to San Salvador